This morning, I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 36. And I want to look at unforgiveness. Forgiveness basically is a central theme to Christianity, to our relationship with God, whereas unforgiveness causes us to hold captive anger, resentment, hatred, a desire for revenge, while forgiveness opens the way to freedom, reconciliation, and a relationship with God. Unforgiveness is holding on to our anger, our bitterness, our resentment toward others, those that maybe have wronged us, those that maybe said something to us, which ultimately harms our own health. It destroys our peace of mind, and unforgiveness becomes a complex mix of negative thoughts, negative desires, revenge, or avoidance. Psychologists have put together a list of things that unforgiveness can cause in your life. It talks about mental health strain. It fuels anxiety, depression, constant stress, and painful memories that often trap us in the past. Physical illness, it attacks our immune system. Chronic stress from unforgiveness raises our blood pressure. It could lead to heart disease. Damaged relationships. It makes it hard to trust someone. It makes us hard, and it blocks our empathy toward other people, which in turn destroys our relationship with our family and our friends. Stuck in emotions. Instead of hurting the person who wronged you, it's holding on to unforgiveness gives that person continuous control over our life. Without forgiveness, there is no reconciliation. Our hope is weakened, our healing is delayed, and the future remains a burden, keeps us burdened in the past. And in Matthew chapter 18, we have the story of the unforgiven, the ungrateful parable of the unmerciful servant. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' And Jesus answered him, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle an accounts with his servants. And as he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay his debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will repay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will repay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all of your debts because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on the fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brethren from your heart." In his parable, Jesus contrasts two servants, one that owed a heavy debt and one that owed a lighter debt. And the point is clear. What Christ has forgiven in us is greater than anything that we have ever been required to forgive from somebody else. If God has shown us mercy, we are called to extend mercy to others. In this parable, Jesus raises a consciousness beyond the seven times forgiveness. And in Scripture, it's different interpretations of this passage. Some say it's 70 times 7, or 77 times 7, which would be 490 times we're required to forgive. But he contrasts this 70 times, and he calls us to forgive as many times as it takes to remove any vengeance that we have in ourselves. Whether God is asking here to remove 77 times or 490 times, isn't as relevant as the concept of not counting sins against us or what people have done to us. It's forgiving often that we lose count of how many times we've actually forgiven. Pastor Rob spoke last week about the Christian life. When you become a Christian, that life becomes smooth. No more issues, no more problems, no more anger, no more hunger. It's not the case. He said, we still face all the things that we did before. The reality now is it's how we look at those things, how we treat those things. And as we're challenged with betrayal, as we're challenged with deceit, as we're challenged with anger towards us, our response is supposed to be to forgive, to overlook, to not be offended by it. And God's love, we find in Scripture, covers a multitude of sins. Christ has shown us that forgiveness, he's told us that his forgiveness never remembers our sins anymore. God forgives us those things. He doesn't bring them up next week and say, well, I forgave you that last week. When are you going to grow up? God removes them. He no longer remembers them. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. We all remember things that people have done to us, people have said to us, people have implied that we have done. And I remember a few years ago, I was at, I forget what even community it was in, I was at a Safeway store, and they were cooking a sandwich. They make sandwiches for you now. And I was having a sandwich made, and the guy that was helping me, out loud, and he was halfway through my sandwich, he turned to the lady that was at least 10 feet away, called her by name, and says, hey, can you help that next guy? I don't like him. And I'm saying, you're in a public place, and I think, how long do we hold on to things that, you know, whatever that guy did to him, for some reason, it was enough that he blurted it out right in public. And so I'm thinking that, how long do we hold those things when people have offended us? Do we carry them on? Is in this parable also, the servant takes, lies to the king. I will pay it back. I'll get it back. But I don't know if he ever had any intention of paying back, because we see that in his reaction to the fellow servant that he was owing him money. He did not forgive him. He got forgiveness, but he did not recognize how much the king had forgiven him. And he was after the guy for the lesser talents. Now, when you look at reading different things about this, when I was looking through it, some people have taken it down and compared what money would be today. And one guy had compared, and he said basically what the guy owed the king would have been like $10 billion today. The guy that would owe the servant would have been like something like 12,000. There is such an incredible contrast here. And I think that's a contrast that God is explaining to us, that he forgave us for our sins. It is much greater than anything we'll ever face in this world. It's much greater than we'll ever have to forgive anybody else for. Do we recognize what God has done for us? If we've admitted and confessed and repented from our sin, we have been forgiven by God. God has forgiven our sins. But there is yet another dimension to this evidence, and dimension and evidence of forgiveness. If we have experienced God's forgiveness and have shown, and it will show in our forgiveness of others, in the parable of the unmerciful servant, Jesus teaches that forgiving others is part of our own forgiveness. The parable teaches us two things about sin. Well, first, it is beyond our capacity to repay. We could never get to heaven on our own. We could never be forgiven on our own. The gift that God's given us is far greater than we could ever repay. And secondly, it's greater than any offense that we have suffered. We need to learn how to forgive others around us. And forgiveness for a Christian is not an option. It is a requirement from God, of Christ. God has forgiven us generously, and he calls us to forgive others from our heart. Some of the hardest people that we'll ever have to learn how to forgive is family members, because their words and their actions reach into the deepest parts of our heart, our soul. Genesis 37 in verse 3, there's a verse, and it starts the story of Joseph. We're all, I think, mostly familiar with the story of Joseph in Scripture. He was the loved son. In 37 of verse 3, it tells us that Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. The favoritism that his father showed, Israel showed to Joseph, set the stage for a deep family conflict. And we find the story as it goes on over the next 10 or 12 chapters of Joseph's life. His brothers hated him for what he was, how he was treated, different than they were. And as the story goes, they ended up faking his death, sold him to a Midianite caravan that was going through and heading to Egypt. And he was for 20 pieces, shekels of silver or something. And that's not where the story ends. It continues on later on. We find that famine came to the land, and the people had to find food, so the father sent the brothers to Egypt to get some food. What happened to Joseph in the interim? He ended up working in the Pharaoh's palace. At one point, he was falsely accused of something, ended up in prison, spent years in prison, and it wasn't until someone had remembered that this guy could interpret dreams, and the Pharaoh was having dreams he couldn't understand what they were. So from there, it took him out of prison. He became Pharaoh's right-hand man. He basically controlled all of Egypt with Pharaoh. Nobody could do anything without Joseph okaying things. And so now the brothers were standing before Joseph. They didn't know who he was. And I think if I was sold, how would I respond to my family? How do you think you would handle that? But in Joseph's case, he reached out with love. He provided them food, sent them on their way, had them come back again, and then he asked him to bring his father. They were afraid of this guy. They weren't sure who he was, what he was going to do. And then finally he admitted that who he was, his brothers were afraid because of the power he had and what he could do to them. But Joseph forgave them. I think it's in chapter 45, sorry, to write down the verse. But Joseph said that if it wasn't for you selling me to the Midianites, we wouldn't be here today. In that situation, he was in God's plan, and the whole thing was what God had carried out and provided for that family later on in life. And so he had a chance. He could have done anything, but he forgave his brothers and brought them to live with him. Forgiveness releases us from the control of those who hurt us. Unforgiveness does not directly cause sickness in our own life, but chronic anger, stress, resentment can place real strain on our body, on our heart, on our physical body. Scripture does not allow us to make the kind of direct judgment that because you have unforgiveness, you're sick. We cannot say to someone, because you're sick, you have sin in your life. Because if that were the case, then we'd be able to take the opposite and say, because you're healthy, there is no sin. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And unfortunately, we all continue to sin. Galatians 5:19 talks about the flesh of the spirit, and it has some brutal things that are done there. But it also has, it includes things like anger, envy, jealousy, everyday things that we sort of get caught up in, a little bit of hatred, whatever. It's things that we happen every day. Those are sin. And it's not, like I say, it's not those that cause sin. Yes, I will agree. All these things, sin, we were created without sin. Adam and Eve were the first to sin. So yes, sin follows through. Sin causes a lot of our pain, a lot of our suffering. Sin causes a lot of sickness, but it's not necessarily you that caught the sin, not necessarily you that's sinning that has caught the disease or whatever is going on. A lot of things are passed down to him from generation to generation. Hereditary sicknesses and that. And so it's sin does not allow us to escape, does not allow us a peace in line, does not allow us to have a healing. And we need to continually be working on that. But I look at myself, a little personal here with you for a little bit. For myself, I've been very healthy. Don't quite feel so healthy this year. I've had the odd sort of cold or cough that for years now, it's gone over the last few years, but I had it for a couple number of years, couldn't get rid of it. I had cough. As long as I'm sucking on a candy, I was fine. And this would last for months. And that's sort of almost the worst of what I've ever had. I never get the flu. I don't remember the last time I've ever had the flu. And so I've been very healthy. So can I say, there's no sin in my life. I'm righteous. No, because there is sin in my life. And I think, I'll give you one example. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. I know somebody did something to me. And for each one of us, people say things, people do things, People blame you for something. Right away, we sort of well up with anger, well up with frustration. And it was the same with me. Someone did something, those same feelings came forward. I was a little angry at what happened, a little frustrated over it. I started to ponder that thought, what was happening. I tried to come up with a number of ways that I could get my vengeance. This went on for, I'm going to say, probably a little while, a few days, maybe a little longer. But it wasn't until I asked God for forgiveness and I forgave that other person that I was able to find peace. I was able to sleep again. I lost the anger. I'm not looking for vengeance. I've been able to release the whole thing. And so we need to be able to forgive one another. I think even my health, the last time, careful how you say this, last time I went in for a colonoscopy. For you that are too young and don't know what it is, your time will come. But when I went in, they do a battery of tests on you. I guess they're going to put you under. They don't want you to die while you're there. So they do all these tests. And so when I come back, she said, yes. She said, congratulations, you're the winner. And so I give her the look, and I'm thinking, pardon? And she said, you are the healthiest person in here today. She said, your blood pressure, your blood tests, everything came back pretty well perfect. You are in great shape. And so then I said, oh, so I could go home. I don't need to do the next process. And she said, no, go sit down. And so next time if a nurse ever says you're the winner, ask what your prize is before you. Take the assumption you don't have to continue. But because I'm healthy doesn't mean that there's no sin in my life. There's sin that I deal with all the time. There's things I've got to go to God for and just ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, I messed up. I made a mistake. Please forgive me for what I've done. And it doesn't always mean that we have to go to the person to forgive a person. Sometimes it's just better off to forgive the person. And I know for myself, my intent is never to offend anybody. But I know at times there's things I have said that offend somebody. And so if I've offended you personally, come and talk to me. I would like to hear about it. I'd like to discuss that with you. I'd like to set the record straight. Let's get off of that. Because I know if I've offended you, if I offend you this morning, you'll leave here somewhat frustrated, somewhat questioning, why on earth would he say that to me? You'll probably ponder it through the week. You'll show up next week, and you're probably still thinking about it. When you see me, I'll be acting like I normally do, haven't got a clue what I've done. And then you'll be mad at me because I'm not apologizing to it. And so, by all means, for my case, like I say, please talk to me. Please share with me. Forgiveness is not an option for us. God has forgiven us and called us to forgive others. I think throughout Scripture, there's passages in Scripture that constantly talk about forgiveness and where we need to forgive. Even in Matthew chapter 8, or 6, verse 9 to 12, we all know it probably by heart. It's the Lord's Prayer. And it starts out, this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts. In this prayer, we're asked God to forgive us, God to set us free from whatever it is, whatever sin we committed, it doesn't matter. We come to God and ask him, he said he'll set us free. God sets us free and we're able to receive his compassion. We're able to receive his forgiveness. We're able to receive the peace that he offers. But the passage, the next part of the verse goes on a little further. And it says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. The reciprocal nature of forgiveness. God forgives us, but also as we forgive others. How does Jesus, in this parable of the unmerciful servant, resonate in your heart? Who are you in that picture? Are you the merciful king that forgives? Are you the servant that goes after the other? Is the other servant for a few shekels, for a word that was said wrong? Are we able to forgive the debts of others when God is willing to send his son to die that we might have life? Ephesians 4:32 further encapsulates this message, urging believers to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is not an option. God forgave. He expects us to forgive. True freedom in Christ grows as we release resentment to others, as we pursue reconciliation, where we trust God that He's going to be the just God. And just in closing, forgiveness requires us to resent, to surrender ourselves, our pride, and our right to be offended. Our regard for ourselves and others should always be positive, even in the absence of conditions. In other words, people don't have to request forgiveness. People don't have to act a certain way. People don't have to be what you expect to receive a positive response from us. Christ has called us to love one another, love others as yourself, to extend grace to everyone that we meet, being able to forgive without waiting for an apology. Forgiveness begins with a choice. And what is our choice going to be? Romans 12:20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. God chose a very radical way that is not part of our world today. The world is pushing hatred. The world is pushing anger. We need to make the change. We can be positive in this world. We can provide positive output for other people. God calls us to a better way. Instead of fueling bitterness, take a different route. Take forgiveness to direct your energy towards someone else, blessing somebody else. Leaving the justice in God's hand, trusting Him. Let your love guide your actions, not your emotions. See how forgiveness can bring about reconciliation and healing in your relationship with others. So let me encourage you this week as you go out. Not sure what you face each week. I'm not sure what your workplace is. I know for myself, I worked in the retail for a number of years. Again, I think I'm very fortunate. I don't think there's anybody that I actually hate, but there were people that I didn't like working with. The people I worked with were good. The people that came in, the customer. There's people that I didn't like working with, but I would never turn down that opportunity to work with them. I would never turn down that opportunity to do the best that I could for that person, to help that person. And I think as people, as Christians, we need to have that same response with everybody, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's your friend, whether it's on the soccer field, whether it's in the hockey arena, it doesn't matter. How we treat people is how we will promote Christ to this world. And it's not only how we promote Christ to the world, but your own health. Your own health will see healing. And so let me encourage you with that, we need to learn how to forgive as Christians. We need to learn how to forgive in all situations. And so let's just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for your word. Father, as we look into it, and Father, just God that you are, Father, what you brought us to, where you brought us to, Father, where you're taking us. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you help each one of us, Father, just to receive from you this morning. Father, just to hear your word. Father, to apply it to our life. Father, help us to be a light unto this world and in this community, to our friends, to the people we associate with. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you watch over us this week. Keep us well, keep us healthy, and bless each one here this morning. In your wonderful name, amen.